I'm happy to tell you something. You are in the triune God. Every one of you. Any believer who's been born again and baptized in water and are in a local church, they need to realize they're in the triune God, experientially. And by the way, if there's any rather new believers here who haven't been baptized yet, maybe these days would be an opportunity, because you need to believe, be baptized, and be in a church. Then you are forever and ever, you are in the triune God.
Amen.
And so the subject is the church in the triune God. But actually, there'll be very little conversation about churches, but about in the triune God. Because you'll see almost every point is for experience and enjoyment. Enjoyment. And we have to have a proper understanding of these two words in this order. Spiritual experience is in our spirit. The enjoyment is mainly in our soul. They work together. That is why the Lord is the indwelling shepherd, mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2. He's the shepherd of our soul, and he's inwardly shepherding us that we would have enjoyment in our soul. But we have to begin with exercising our spirit. Then we are an open vessel. Then the Lord, unlimited, can flow into our soul. And we'll see toward the end the marvelous effect it will have in our situations, whatever they may be. Point one says the triune God is the structure of the New Testament. So you see verses in Matthew at the beginning and Revelation 1, 4, and 5. Now I have a suggestion for many of the saints 30 and under, but they're for any age, that to really grasp this thought, the triune God is the structure of the New Testament, you need to read through the New Testament. Now, if you would, every day for a month, read 12 chapters of the New Testament, you would go through the New Testament from beginning to end. And I tried this maybe 25 years ago. Then I had the inner leading to do it every month for a year, to just have a broad view of what is revealed in the New Testament. We can pray read certain verses and certain chapters, but to have this view. So it's something you may want to consider when your situation allows you to do it. If it's 12 chapters in a day, it's not hard. 4 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, 4 in the evening, or maybe it's almost night. Just to flow through and have this realization. The structure of the New Testament is the triune God. Now, two, we come to know the triune God by experiencing him and enjoying him. So we can be clear now. The way to know is really not doctrine, although we may need some objective teaching as a foundation. But the genuine knowing is by experiencing him and enjoying him. Like if a brother who just graduated from the training, he's got a strong feeling for a sister, and the sister has the same strong feeling for him, and it's likely after rather several months they may get married. And so it's one thing to try to explain to someone else what you experience when you get married, what you enjoy when you get married. But if you want to know, get married. And then no one will have to teach you anything about experiencing and enjoying. But here we're applying this, knowing the triune God by experiencing and enjoying him. And I suggest a very simple daily prayer early in the morning to say, Lord, today I'm open for today's experiencing and enjoying you today. I'm an open vessel. And he will guide you and shepherd you in a particular way, no matter what your outward condition is, your situation. Okay, A, the triune God is not merely the object of our faith. He is dwelling in us as our life and life supply for our experience and enjoyment. So we can't, by just our natural being, experience the triune God or enjoy the triune God. We need the divine life, the life of God, the eternal life, permeating our being more and more. Then this will become the way for the life supply. Then we'll have experience and enjoyment. That's why every day we need to turn our heart to the Lord, exercise our spirit, open our being, and just tell the Lord, because this is John 15, I'm abiding in you, and you abide in me. I'm open for today's dispensing, and you're shining in me. It makes every day a day of growing in life. When you put your head on the pillow at night, you can just have the sense, I have little more divine life with Christ in me than when I got up early in the morning. Then just consider what would happen between now and the end of this year if all of us every day had this very simple, genuine contact with the Lord. Because life is not sudden, but is continuing. Okay, B, we need to know the triune God experientially through the inner enjoyment of the subjective God. So we need to know the triune God experientially, but we do it through the inner enjoyment. And the subjective God is the triune God in Christ going through such a procedure of incarnation, living on the earth, crucified, resurrection, ascension. Now the life-giving spirit can saturate our being, and this will enable us to have an enjoyment of the subjective God, the processed and consummated triune God. see, if we would know the triune God, we must be in the line of life and in the process of the growth in life. The more we grow in life, the more we will be concerned with the divine Trinity. It just occupies you throughout the day. It's not something you try to do in a kind of outward way. It's just in your being all the time. Because you are in the triune God and you realize the triune God is in me, unlimited, flowing, saturating. But the point here is something of a certain positive concern. The growth in life. I don't judge, the Lord can bear witness. I don't judge anyone. Don't criticize anyone. But there is much feeling and much deep concern and loving concern that this dear beloved saint has not grown in life for the last 10 years. And this is not just a theory. Where you have, to what extent you have grown in life, then you can perceive how far others have gone. If you are well into the third stage, then you'll understand where saints are not exactly at the same place. But Brother Lee, knowing our situation, I'll just mention very briefly, in 1974, I was in Detroit just doing an ordinary human living. Then I got a telephone call from a brother in Los Angeles with just a surprising but very direct speaking. Brother Lee wants you to move to California and serve full time with him in Anaheim to do the life study of the Bible. So this is what I mean to be under the Lord's leading, under his authority. And then when we are in that situation, I remember that some of you heard this illustration. When I began to do that daily serving, I did it for 24 years. I didn't do all the life studies, but the vast majority of them. And I just said, I'm willing to labor day after day. But like in the verses in the Old Testament used by Paul in the New, that I'm like a big animal going round and round, grinding the things. But the animal had his mouth open. And I had this simple prayer, Lord, I will gladly serve and function in this ordinary way, in this thorough way. But I want to have my heart, my mouth open. And a lot can happen in a year. A lot can happen in 31 years. But the point is, we just want to be in this kind of contact with the triune God for the process. It's just a burden. Between now and the end of this year, dear saints, we just ask the Lord, I want to grow in a normal way every day, because some saints that are quite elderly, like me, We don't know when their journey will be over. But the Lord in His mercy gives you the opportunity, even at the end of your journey, that if you would, day by day, have contact with me under His dispensing, you will reach maturity before you pass away. Because it's how our journey ends. I'm emphasizing this. So the more we grow in life, the more we will be concerned with the divine Trinity. So we don't try to make ourselves concerned. Just open your being so that the divine life can grow in you. And then effortlessly, more and more, your inner sense will be focused on the divine Trinity. Okay, three. When the triune God becomes our experience and enjoyment, He is not only the one on the throne, who is universally vast, but He is also the one in our heart. There's a verse, a prayer actually, in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul is praying that we would be strengthened by the power of the Spirit of life, so that Christ can make His home in your heart. So He is making His home in our heart. It depends upon the strengthening of our mingled spirit. And it is very helpful, again, at the beginning of the day, to say, Lord, I need mercy. I begin with, I can't live without mercy. But the mercy opens the gate for grace. And I ask you for today's measure of grace. And so when Paul was praying that we're strengthened, so Christ is making His home in our heart, that's not just words. He's not visiting. And we know from Romans chapter 12, it's more likely that He will begin making His home in our heart with our mind, then our emotion, then our will, then one aspect of our human spirit. He's in our heart. We know the triune God not in the vastness of the universe, but in the personal realm of our heart. Again, there's just a very deep, loving concern. Just day after day, the prayer is like it never happened before. It's like a brand new prayer. Lord, Lord, lead and shepherd the saints to grow in life. Please give them the burden to pray, to grow in life. And then realize that as the Lord strengthens our inner man, this takes place in the personal realm of our heart. Each one of us needs to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And I just remember going back almost 30 years again, when I would get up real early, like 5:45, and do a lot of exercise, walking, and doing my best to pray, to say, Lord, how can I have fellowship with you? You can see me. I can't see you. So please, just lead me how I can have a personal relationship with you. So I just started from the very beginning. But again, I just repeat, there's just deep in my heart with loving concern that every saint in the Lord's recovery will have a personal relationship with the Lord. And there are two ways that might help you begin. One is just to bring it to the Lord. You just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to start. But I want to have a personal relationship beginning now, and it will go on forever. But if you're not clear about what should I do from the New Testament, then you may want to just seek some fellowship with an older brother or sister that you have confidence in, and they might suggest that maybe in your present positive situation, maybe you can pray read all the way through 1 John, or you tell someone else to Colossians. But it's of utmost concern, dear saints, that almost all the local churches, they have the Holy Word for Morning Revival material. That is a church matter, a necessary, healthy church matter. But that's not your personal need in most cases. That's why you need to know, under the Lord's shining, where you are and what you need. And if he can do that directly, just by shining in you and giving the sense to pray, read this particular book. Otherwise, like I mentioned, someone would not direct you, but may suggest something. The concern of the New Testament is that we know the triune God who has come to dwell in our being. The one who dwells in our heart and desires to spread into all the inward parts of our heart. He desires to do this. I emphasize these simple words. He wants to make his home in your heart. Not a place you go in summertime for a rest. This is where he lives. And when you sense it's taking place and you open your being more thoroughly than you've ever done before, you can just tell him you have access to the deepest part of my being. Even you know the deepest part. I don't know what's there. But I want every part of my being to be an open vessel for your dispensing. And he'll gladly do it. He knows how to take place. And your personal relationship with the Lord will develop. And certain things in your relationship with him, the Lord will make it clear. Never talk about this to anyone. Many other things the Lord will want you to share in home meetings or giving a prophesying word. But there's an aspect that's just between you and the all-inclusive Christ. So don't worry about the past. no matter how age you are, it's not too late. I say this again and again. If you're elderly, like some of us, it's not too late. If you're only about 18, you know, this is your first semi-annual training, it's not too soon. Just let the Lord take care of you in this delightful way. Then see, the New Testament way for us to know the triune God is personal, detailed, and experientially. Now, detail, I might let you know, when the Lord starts something, He's thorough. I mean, detailed to the uttermost. And He knows what it is. But again, you come to Him as an open vessel for Him. You cannot be thoroughly open in an unwise way. But when you're with Him, under the power of His blood, and touching Him as the tree of life, and you can say, Lord, I'm an open vessel for You. And You have access in a detailed way to every part of my being. And He eventually will leave nothing untouched. And the only thing remaining will be in Romans 8:11, that those who have a mortal body, human body, but even while we have a body of sin and death, yet the power of Christ's resurrection life saturates our whole being. And that's why elderly people cannot run at all. Some of you are. You can really move. And maybe have a cane. But inwardly, I can say, I wouldn't want to still be 75. Oh, I don't want to go back to be 55. I know what was taking place there. We just want to go on and on until we finish the course, or as all of us hope, we will all be raptured at the same time before the Lord comes and brings the kingdom to the earth. Then point D, how precious is this experiential way of knowing the triune God? It's a precious way of learning and of experiencing. You're going to find it more precious than you could ever imagine. It's not just a duty. The Lord wants to share this preciousness in this experiential way of knowing the triune God. We want to know the triune God in the way of experiential and of enjoyment. And so I look forward in the future, we will all have more experience and more enjoyment. Every one of us, every day, no matter what our outward physical situation is. Forgive me for using this example again. When I had severe pain in part of my body, I needed to call my dear brother Rick, a dear brother, but also an experienced doctor. Take me to the ER. They have to do something. And once they examined and had the blood test, they said, well, we'll take care of that kind of pain. But what we'll do first is you need to quadruple open heart surgery. And I remember when I was being taken to the surgery room with peace and joy and love. There were about 10 people in there, all kinds of doctors and whatever. They didn't feel I could say anything, but I just want to say, I just love you all. I'm just at peace here. I'll see you a few hours later. This just indicates the more we are dwelling in the, living in the triune God, and He has access to our being, no matter what our outward situation is, His precious experiential way of knowing Him continues. And again, I'm not being focused, but after that surgery, for some reason, I was wide awake for 48 hours. And a lot was going on in an intensified way. The Lord going into the depths and determining this, Ron, you must repent. I need to touch this. And I gave him access. And as soon as he went to apply the cross, there was just love. The cross, love, for 48 hours. And when I look back, we just have to worship God the Father. Your wisdom, you're not punishing us, but you have a wise way to lead us into maturity for the benefit of the body and the bride. Okay, section 4, the New Testament, like the Bible as a whole, is fully composed and structured with the divine Trinity. The entire New Testament is related to the triune God. The triune God is the element for the construction of the New Testament. The Bible presents us a picture of the move of the divine Trinity for the accomplishment of His economy. The Bible was written according to the governing principle of the triune God, wrought into His chosen and redeemed people as their enjoyment, their drink, and their fountain of life and light. I suggest you, when you have a chance, today or tomorrow, just pray, read Psalms 36, 8 and 9. It will bring joy and rejoicing to your inner being. D, the revelation concerning the triune God in the Word of God is for the dispensing of God in His divine Trinity into His chosen and redeemed people for their experience and enjoyment, so that they might become the corporate expression for eternity. This is what's on the Lord's heart. People talk about the New Jerusalem. If you pay attention to Revelation chapter 21, the second verse, about the New Jerusalem is coming down. as a woman, as a bride. And then an angel came to John again. He said, come here, I will show you the bride. I'll show you the New Jerusalem. And then he took him to a certain place. And then he saw the New Jerusalem is not a place. It's not a thing. It is both. It's the triune God. It's the all-inclusive Christ mingled with all the saved and matured saints together. It's like a married couple. And so we're not going to a place. We're becoming a wife. And those that are growing to maturity in this age, then they will be in the wedding feast. The others will spend 1,000 years in utter darkness during the manifestation of the kingdom. And so we can either brought to maturity now or in the next age. So why not just settle it? To say, Lord, do what only you can do in your way and time. I want to grow in maturity, mature as a member of the body here and now. And I guarantee you, he will. Because he needs maturing members of the body. There are millions, millions of genuine Christians. They're born again. But because they have no access to the ministry of the age and of the Lord's moving in his recovery, when they stand before the judgment seat, and the Lord has to tell them that, I know your situation, but you need to be in. You can't enter the kingdom now. And many of them could say, this is mentioned in Luke 12, they could honestly say, Lord, I didn't know. This was not an excuse. But then the Lord would say, I know, but from our point of view, we are blessed in many ways of knowing what's on the Lord's heart, of knowing what his economy is, of knowing what it means to be in the triune God. So when we meet the Lord at the judgment seat, we won't be able to say we didn't know. So it's a blessing for the Lord to reveal the divine reality in so many aspects to us. And we receive it with joy and with peace. But we should also realize we're now responsible for what we've been learning. But I still rather would take the choice of learning now. And we just settle it before God the Father in your way and in your time. Do what only you can do, that we can reach maturity and be rapture ready. Just viewing all of you, more than 3,600 here, I just have the yearning for all of you, all of us, that we will all become rapture-ready saints. Because something's going to happen. And I know many of us have been praying about this in a genuine way. Something will happen to clear the Temple Mount in Israel. And the people are ready to rebuild the temple. But then they will ready to be attacked by so many other countries. So they will have a relationship with a powerful person in Europe. He may already be growing up. He may be a young man already. He will have a powerful person. And there will be this spiritual arrangement made between Israel and this person. And when that takes place, the 70th week has just started. I just wonder what would happen in the whole Lord's recovery if on January 19, 2026, we wake up early in the morning and found out that the Temple Mount has been blown open, and now Israel has a relationship with this powerful person in Europe. Then we realize the 70th week has started. And we have 3.5 years to be rapture ready. I don't know whether it can take place with many of them in 3.5 years. So I suggest, don't wait for you hear that news. Start as soon as you can. Because you are in the triune God, and the triune God is absolutely for you in this way. Am I in part 5 now? How far have I gone? Huh? Okay, the beginning of Roman number 5. Okay. I need help like this. Okay? Not ashamed. Thank you. So the epistle of 1 Thessalonians is addressed to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. On the one hand, the church in Thessalonica was of the Thessalonians. On the other hand, this church was in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a church is born of God the Father with his life and nature, and is organically united with the Lord Jesus Christ in all that he is and has done. We need to see that the church is composed of human beings who are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have the life of God and who are in the organic union with Christ. In point 1, we have God the Father. And also in point 2, God the Father will come to some points about the Father, but I want to pause here. And I just ask you in a very tender way, how much fellowship have you had with the Father this week? But the actual situation is, but it's not a negative thing, but it's something that a number of members of the body are concerned in a positive way. You read 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And John said, we wrote this that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And the indwelling Christ, on his behalf, I'm saying, he has a very intense, positive feeling that more and more of the children of God will know what it is to have fellowship with the Father. So on the Lord's table, it's not just a matter after the cup and the bread in the cup, then we just sing another hymn. But we realize we can worship God the Father and thank Him. You are the source of every positive thing. And so I'm just suggesting that when you have the opportunity, if you would look at some of these verses or seek for a certain kind of fellowship, that we can have, we're in the triune God. We need to have fellowship with the Son. We are being life supply from the Spirit. But there will be a number of times when the Lord Himself would say, I want to bring you to the Father. He's the source. And it's one thing that we will settle to say to the Father, I've made this decision. I will only receive and do the perfect will of God the Father. I will not accept for your what you allow, but your perfect will. I hope, especially all the young brothers and sisters, that you would settle this, that I made this decision to the triune God. Father, you are the unique source. So now we can continue. So in 2 again, we need to see that the church is composed of human beings who are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have the life of God and who are in the organic union with Christ. When Paul speaks of the church of God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he actually means that the church is in the triune God. The expressions God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ both imply the Spirit. Therefore, in Theologians 1:1, the Spirit is implied and understood, and we may speak of the church being in the triune God. This is to establish that point, that we're in the triune God, not just in the Father and the Son. The Father, Son, and Spirit are distinct, but they're never separated. They're always together, one. Because the three of the divine Trinity are inseparable, whenever we have the first, the Father, we also have the second, the Son, and the third, the Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one God, not three. They are distinct, but not separate. This is an important point of truth. We cannot separate the Son from the Father, or the Father and the Son from the Spirit, because all three coexist and co-inhere, that is, they dwell in one another mutually. In the divine economy, the three of the divine Trinity work and are manifested respectively in three consecutive stages. This is a crucial point. A, B, and C, especially. The Father is the one who plans, originates, and initiates. So the Father is the one who makes plans for you. He originates. He initiates. B, the Son accomplishes everything that the Father has planned, originated, and initiated. The Spirit executes and applies what the Father has planned and what the Son has accomplished. Selection is of the Father. Deliverance is of the Son. And imparting or propagating is of the Spirit. When the Son comes, he comes with the Father and by the Spirit. The Son is realized as the Spirit, and the Spirit comes as the Son with the Father. These verses testify to that. For the church to be in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ means that the church is in the process triune God. Okay, this is a very crucial point on the outline and on the message itself. The process triune God. We don't have access to the triune God in the Godhead. It's in God's economy that he became the processed triune God. And these verses give us an opening. So this is a very profound matter, but we at least have the basic ideas now. According to the Bible, there is no such thing as the church being merely in God. Rather, the church is in the processed triune God. The church is in the processed triune God. And I believe many, many can testify of all ages, but especially from maturing older saints. When we came into the Lord's recovery, we knew that was what the Lord God wanted us to be. But then to realize we're under the direction of the process triune God, and you entered into the realm of being processed. Just in our daily living. I thought of just like coming into another, you know, religious group, but I realized this is another realm. And to realize almost immediately, just being in the church life, the Lord began to shine and say, you've got to clear the past. And memories came. I had this that wasn't mine, and I did that. And many of the things, it all had to be cleared. Because you're now in a process. And then when you are consecrated for the first time, but in an honest way, then the Lord has access now to bring you through this life under the process triune God. And this process will take on for decades, year after year. Just a normal thing. Like the brothers right in front of me, what did you look like 15 years ago? But now you're men. Right? You're men. You're not little boys. They're not little girls. They're women. It's just a kind of picture that we're in a situation of the process triune God. And again, on our side, if we have at least some opening view of the process triune God, then it's to the extent at which we presently understand, we can say, Lord, I'm fully open to you, for you do your processing work. I don't want to hold you back. And don't worry. The Lord knows exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it. To make it clear, God is God. Amen. And just let him function as God in that way. Two, in Genesis 1, God was the unprocessed God. But in the New Testament, he has become the process triune God. Process refers to the crucial steps through which the triune God has passed in the divine economy. Incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection. In crucifixion, the Lord accomplished redemption, the termination of the old creation, and the destruction of Satan and death. Amen. He did this on the cross. In resurrection, he germinated the new creation. Now, he is the life-giving Spirit as the ultimate consummation of the processed triune God. Okay, just checking the time. Okay, section 4. Then when we get to D, we'll need to have about 10 or 12 minutes on D. You'll find out why that will take this length of time. And just on one point. The process triune God reaches us, contacts us, and is applied to us in our experience as the life-giving Spirit. I believe in the Lord's point of view, message is not just words. This is an opening for the process triune God to function in the lives of thousands of saints in an unlimited way. So the process triune God wants to reach you. The process triune God wants to contact you. The process triune God is applied to you in your experience as the life-giving Spirit. The life-giving Spirit is the application of the process triune God. The Father is in the Son, and the Son is now the life-giving Spirit dwelling in us. When we are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the Spirit. Thus, we are the church in the processed triune God. I just hope that going through this message and this outline brings us to this point. We are the church in the processed triune God, that all of us in various degrees will have an inward realization. Yes, I'm in a genuine local church where I am, where I live. But now I'm beginning to understand. I'm in the church. That means I'm in the processed triune God. If I'm in a church, a genuine local church, I'm under the process triune God functioning in any and every way. That we don't know when the Lord will come back. We need another generation of brothers that can become leading brothers, maybe some elders. We need another generation of those that have the burden to participate in the ministry. Do you have your portion? Or you want to be a full-time serving one? This all depends on the Father's will. But we're not holding the young generation. It's like at the end of one of the Old Testaments. They're about ready to go into the good land. But the first generation, except for just two men, passed away in the desert because they were unfaithful. But another generation, the children, they grew up. And then just two of the brothers, the older ones, they made it clear, we're ready to enter into the good land, the all-inclusive Christ. And it's going to be this generation that's going to absorb the all-inclusive Christ and even participate in the spiritual warfare. But there will still be some mature, elderly brothers and sisters. The Lord is going to keep for quite a length of time, maybe well until their 90s, because we're heading toward the final battle. And you dear ones in their 20s, get ready for this, that there was this one man in the government with much experience fighting, and he was training them. They were all 18 to 21. And this is, a war was taking place. He said, I've been in many wars and I've been here. And after I'm training you, we're going to go and we'll land right in the middle of the battle. And I will be the first one to step out. And I will be the last one to get in. And so there's going to be this marvelous relationship between saints of all ages, because we're heading toward the final battle. Because one aspect, I can't get into it, it's another message, but one aspect of the bride, the Lord is very interested. Like you wonder, the sister, she has this and that, but I guarantee you, their list will be twice as long as your list toward you. That's just female, normal thinking. Okay? But there will be this arrangement for the final end. Now we have one other section for about 9 or 10 minutes. And that is, if we see the vision of the church in the triune God, this vision will control our thinking, our activities, and our entire life. And so here's a very simple definition of vision. In the Bible, vision denotes an extraordinary scene. That's a vision. You see something. You go to the Great Canyon, you'll see something marvelous. But if you see a little bug crawling around by your foot, that's not some kind of extraordinary place. But so there's going to be vision means to have an extraordinary scene. Now, here are some of the points. I'll just give them one at a time. What we're talking about for vision. After seeing the vision, our entire being will be changed in its thought, concept, attitude, and conversation. We will be thoroughly different. After seeing a vision, our whole lifestyle is changed. Our whole being has had an inward turn. The vision causes our life to be full of meaning and purpose. The vision motivates us and energizes us. The vision governs and restricts us. The vision gives us endurance. The vision will preserve us. Then here is the final point to this. The heavenly vision governs us, restricts us, controls us, directs us, preserves us, revolutionizes us, keeps us in the genuine oneness, and gives us the boldness to go on. So this is how we end this message on vision. And vision is a unique way of seeing something. You have heard about things. That's the proper beginning. But I would hope that many of you would have the sense in their personal praying to the Lord, Lord, I need vision. You don't just follow what someone else sees. Brother Nee was very burdened about this. But all that his speaking, he said, very few understand. They never took it as a vision. So maybe now, as we finish my time together with you, it's at 9:10. We can just pray whatever is in your heart, but maybe some would say, Lord, I'm an open vessel for you, and I need to have a vision. Every one of us, I'm deeply concerned that you only just follow something I heard that someone else had, and has followed that long. We begin that way, but you need to have the vision governing you, because a lot of things are going to happen. A lot of attacks from the enemy. But one thing that will enable us to press on is the vision. The vision will strengthen us and will continue to press on until the end of the journey. And we're now in the coming kingdom, reigning with him, married and enjoying him for 1,000 years. So pray, and then the brother will direct how to have the sharing.